This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the October 2nd edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. We're here to talk about investing principles that impact your retirement portfolio. We do it every day. These are tried and true principles and methods that help try to control risk and to optimize opportunity. So let's start out with a thought from Philip Fisher, author of the Common Sense and Uncommon Profits, a book, Common Sense and Uncommon Profits. The stock market is filled with individuals who know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. This speaks to the need for education, everybody. The stock market is filled with individuals who know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. Investing without knowledge and sound research doesn't usually end well. You need to have it. And research means more than just listening to friends and getting stock ideas from the newspaper or magazine or online or wherever. You gotta work at it, just like anything else, to be successful. In a vibrant world, does your portfolio have worldwide reach? That's going to be our main talking point today. Does your portfolio have worldwide reach? But first, let's go ahead and answer the phones. We try to answer your questions live during the hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And you can leave that question, if you can't call us live, anytime you want on the 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Oh, hi, Steve or Justin. I had a general question regarding Vanguard funds. I wanted to get your opinion about index funds. Would I be better served going with a total stock market index fund, or would you suggest tiering it and going with S&P 500, mid and small cap index fund? Does one benefit the other, or am I kind of emulating a total stock market index anyway if I was to go with the three funds instead of the one? And then on top of that, I'd also do some type of international investing. So I look forward to hearing your response on the podcast. Have a great day.
Well, I don't know if there'd be a big difference, because the total stock market fund, meaning it's investing in the entire stock market, the S&P 500 index is investing in the largest 500 companies in the 8,000 stocks or 9,000 stocks out there. And value investing means you're going to be heavy on the value stocks, growth mean on growth stocks, and there's going to be a lot of both in the S&P 500, so you have a lot of overlap. Okay, so I'm not, my personal opinion, I'd rather do the S&P 500, the growth and value funds, and some international myself, or even emerging markets, instead of the total stock market. That's what I'd rather see. Invested. But I don't know how much difference it would make. I've never seen a study that they could show us. And I do like Vanguard. I do like the Vanguard Fund. I talked earlier about the importance of education and doing your homework. Today, there's no excuse for being ignorant. You don't have any reason to be ignorant. There's just too many resources out there. But having said that, you need to take care in selection. All the resources you're using. You got to be reputable resources, and you got to be careful that you're not reading an ad, because they're getting very sharp, very smart about making ads look more like research when they're not. So go to even on the websites that are very professional, I've caught myself opening up articles that weren't articles, that were ads. And say, wait a minute, that's an ad. I mean, but it didn't look like it on the website when I clicked on it. So you have to be very, very careful. And when choosing a financial advisor, the online publication NerdWallet says there are some important questions you need to ask. Is the advisor a registered investment advisor? Who will be the custodian of your securities? Does an advisor earn a commission on what he or she recommends? Those are three vital questions you need to ask. If you're determined to go do it yourself, you have to be honest with yourself. Are you prepared to commit to the time it takes? Are you going to be honest about your performance? I see a lot of people being very selective. Oh, I made a lot of money on this XYZ stock, and they forget about the 10 other stocks they lost money on. Got to be honest with yourself. And again, there always is a lot of free resources out there, you know, for almost anything when it comes to investments. The U.S. government's www.investor.gov website has a section dedicated to seniors where you can pick up tips, learn investment strategies, and stay up to date with investment news. You can check that out. I kind of like that website. Now, what can I do to help you today? I would love to hear from you. Do you have questions about educational resources or, you know, 401ks, IRAs, mortgages, whatever you have, anything financial? You can give me a call right now on a 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Justin. Raphael from Jersey. Calling about Ping An Insurance, PNGAY. Those are the American Depository Receipts. Insurance, very large cap company in China in insurance. And I think this is like a China wealth play. It looks to be very fairly priced, with 23% growth predicted for 2018. I think it's trading somewhere around 11 forward PE, 0.6 PEG ratio, and a 1.2 price to sales. If you guys could take a quick look at this one, I'm looking to get in on this for a very long period of time, multiple years. I wanted to get your guys' impression. Okay, thanks, guys. Bye.
It comes up on my charts when I pull it up on charts, but it does not come up on my fundamental page. I'm not sure why that's happening. So I'm going to try real fast and see if I can pull it up on another one. It's a PNGAY. And, okay. Ping An Insurance Group Company of China. Okay, so it is an American Depository Receipt. It's selling for about $15.94. I'm checking out the fundamentals if I can. Okay, so it's an insurance group in China engaged in providing financial products and services in the area of life insurance, property and casualty insurance. Its services are insurance, banking, asset management, securities, brokerage, and others. So it does not just insurance. It does other things. It is a large growth stock. P.E. ratio, it's about 14. Price of book, 2.2. That's not bad. The P.E. ratio is not bad. Price of sales is a little bit low. Margins is growing, which that is good. Net income is, so it looks like a pretty solid company. And looking at a chart for the company, you know, it looks like it's done well. I think it's well worth the time. I don't know if I need to do some more work on it. It looks like it's gone sideways for a couple of months and then started to weaken a little bit and had a big day today. As long as it stays above that 50-day moving average, which is where it is now, I think I would be a buyer of this stock, not a seller. So I kind of like the stock, but it's been going sideways for a while. But that could mean that it's just gathering strength for another run up, because it's run up since last year from $11 to the $15 area, and now it's at $15.70. So as high as it's been is about $16.25 or so. So it needs to break that $16.25. You could wait till it breaks above that and then buy it on the breakout. I think that might be a good way to buy it, or wait for a decent pullback. Okay, I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Robert Arnold said, in investing, what is comfortable is rarely profitable. So that means you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone every so often. So it's especially important to know the boundaries of your comfort zone. Take our risk-free analysis quiz on investtalk.com. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Shahir in New Orleans. How are you doing, Shahir?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for the show. I really like your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you a question for a stock Chipotle Mexican Grill, CMG.
Yes, well, everybody kind of knows that they've had their problems. There was a year or so, a couple years ago, they had some food poisoning at a restaurant. They had a couple of problems, and the stock took a big hit from, $480, $500, all the way down to $300. And it's still there. It's been there since since August. Right around 300, 301. Right now it's at $301.81. It's going to make $7.55 this year after making $1.22 last year. But got to remember, in 2015, it made $15 a share. So it took a big hit from 2015 to 2016. Now it's coming back. It's coming back. So next year, it's going to make $10.77. So that means it's about a 30 PE on the stock, 30. And that's, for this stock, that's kind of on its low range. That's, it, you know, as low as it's ever been is 27. My problem is that even though the growth is starting to pick back up again, it looks like they're gaining traction. I would still worry about the return on equity is very low at 2%. Management owns a company. I'll tell you this right here. This is, if you wanted to buy this stock, you buy it at 300 right here, $301. Okay. But if it drops below that with any gusto, I think I'd get out immediately. Okay. To keep a tight stop on it, simply because, we still don't know if the problems are behind them yet. I think they are, but I'm just not positive. Okay. So tight stop, but yes. Okay. Thank you for here.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Chipotle Mexican Grill, everybody. That CMG is the symbol. CMG. They have 2,200 fast food Mexican restaurants. It's very good food. I kind of like it. And it could be very healthy when you get the bowl instead of and cut out some of the the carbs, the rice in particular. Anyways, I do like their food. I like they're not nearly as busy as they used to be, so that's a little concern. But they're still growing. Still growing. So does your portfolio have worldwide reach? That's our main talking point today. I also want to talk about how does the tech sector look right now? Big tech was a big leader this year so far. Is it still there, or should we still be in there? U.S. manufacturing hits highest level since 2004, at least by this one measurement I'm going to be talking about, since 2004. And few people are ready for retirement. It's kind of depressing. So I've been talking about this for some time, and it does concern me that so few people are ready. And what's concerning me is people aren't really doing much about it. The Dow was up 152 points today. The Nasdaq up 21 and the S&P up 10. But what was more important to me is, you know how I've been reporting on the up volume and down volume? The up stocks moving up on volume was 150 today, and stocks moving down on volume was 97. That's the way it's supposed to be, and it hasn't been that way for weeks. More stocks in a bull market rally. More stocks should be going up than down. And today was the first time that turned around, because it's not been happening for a long time. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. You can take advantage of our free retirement services, if you like, no matter where you live in the United States. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review. Sit down. 888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
I'm doing good, Steve. So my question is about Netflix. Mm-hmm. I have some of this stock, and do you think it's a position to accumulate or wait for a downturn on this stock? And what will be entry point?
Okay, Netflix, everybody. They are a $76 billion company, and everybody knows who they provide internet subscription services to watch TV shows and movies. They're going to make $1.17 this year. That's up from 43 cents last year. And then $2.03 next year. So those are really good numbers. And the sales are still growing 30% or so every quarter. Now, at some point, they're not going to be able to do that, but they're still being able to do it now. I don't have any insiders buying it at this price. So there were a lot of insiders. Well, not a lot. There were insiders buying it way back when it was 90s to 100. Today it's 177. And why it had a bad day today, it was down 2.3%. There was news out on it about Hulu, who was had a lot more Emmy nominations and winners than Amazon and Netflix. So that was kind of weighed on it. Okay, so is it a good stock to own? Yeah, it still has growth. You know, still growing very, very good. And I think I would, myself, I would wait for a pullback. And I would really love to see a pullback to about the 155 to 160 area. And it's at 177 right now. I feel more comfortable there. And I think it's going to go down. It's hit double top resistance at a 185, 190 and fallen. It seems that, so I think it needs to pull back a little bit, then maybe you can enter it if you want to get in. But don't overload on this one stock, because it's a high growth stock and it's also very big, and it, at some point growth is going to slow down, BJ, so be careful, okay?
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
How you doing, Steve?
I'm good.
Is that a question? Sure. What is it? SPIC?
FDIC or SPIC?
SPIC.
Okay, SIP it.
The insurance that covers your
brokerage accounts. Asset. Okay, yes. Brokerage. Okay.
I just wanted to find out, like, if I were to roll over some 401k and I had, enough where at some point I'll have, like, enough where I can actually have more than the their cap amount.
Yes.
Is there a good idea just to split it into two
No, you don't have to do that. You really don't. We're talking about SPIC, and SPIC has SIPC. SIPC? Yeah, SIPC. They have 500,000 coverage per brokerage account, unlike the FDIC, which is your banking account. So, and Art's saying, well, if you got more 500,000, you know, it's not insured above 500,000. But really, what, Art, it depends on your brokerage firm, who's the custodian of your account. Many of them buy much more insurance than the 500,000. So you just got to find, what brokerage firm are you talking about? And I can maybe tell you.
Scott Trade.
Yeah, I don't know about Scott Trade, but probably Scott Trade carries more than 500,000. They go out in the marketplace and they buy additional insurance per account because they want the big accounts. They don't want you, you know what I mean? Many of the big boys buy additional insurance. So you call up Scott Trade and ask them. Ask them for their,
okay,
who it is. And if they do, then you don't have to have separate accounts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because actually I was thinking of opening up two separate accounts if it gets above the 500,000 maximum.
Yeah. So, well, I can tell you, I know that Vanguard, all the big mutual fund families have it. All the big houses, you know, like Goldman Sachs and those guys, they all have it. Extra insurance, and TD Ameritrade has it. Pardon me?
Does Fidelity? Because that's one of the brokers.
Yes, Fidelity has extra insurance. I just don't know the limits, but they all of those have more than 500,000 insurance. It's 500,000 government, and then they go out, and most of them are covered by Lloyd's of London for more.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Art. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to James in Sonoma. How you doing, James?
I'm doing fine today, Steve. I wanted to talk to you today about ANGL. It's a fallen angel fund. It's a high-yield junk bond fund.
Right.
I have going my IRA. I have individual bonds. I have some bond funds as far as my bond portfolio is concerned.
Okay.
But I do not have a high-yield bond fund. I picked this one because it seems to have a more steady, and it's not the highest yield, but it seems to have a more steady type of, it doesn't go up, doesn't go down as much as some of the other ones do, and wondering what you think about this one and high-yield bonds in general.
I think high-yield bonds is something to stay away from in this economy because they've already had a really good run-up, That's the only reason, James, because they've already had a really good run-up. The best time to buy high-yield bonds or bond funds is at the depths coming out of a recession. Coming out of a recession. That's when you buy them. Now that the economy has been growing for some time, I tend to stay away from it at this point. Okay? Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART.
Our InvestTalk podcast continues. First, a couple of words from KPP Financial and a question for you. When did you last review your entire investment portfolio, not just look briefly over the documents? Steve believes this is something that should be done quarterly, every year at the very least. Why is this so important? You need to make sure that you're achieving the goals you want before you run out of time. And if you're just checking your statements each month and putting them back in the drawer, Steve believes you need to take a closer look. You may be missing opportunities or taking too much risk. Invest an hour with Steve. Start the process going. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. It can be done easily from anywhere in the USA on Skype or telephone. And now let's continue with the podcast. And right now we get back to InvestTalk, answers to life's important money questions. Our direct line for answers is 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Does your portfolio have global exposure? Should it have global exposure? Well, what's going on now is we're having something very unusual. It's called synchronicity in the economies around the world. In other words, many of the economies around the world are all now expanding together. They're all improving together. Not all at the same rate, of course. I'm not suggesting that. But it's unusual for both Europe and Japan and everybody else, and us, U.S., and most of the other economies, all to be on the same path as far as improving their economies, improving. And because the economy is improving, we've had stock market earnings improving. And because of that, stock markets around the world are improving. And I don't know if you noticed, but the dollar has been falling most of this year. It's not because we are weak, necessarily. It's because other Europe, EU, Japan, those economies are starting to finally get some traction, getting stronger, therefore putting pressure on our dollar. Now, is this something that we should worry about? No, actually, it's probably pretty healthy right now. The only worry you have is if we're all synchronized, does that mean the next recession we'll all be going down together? And probably will, simply because if we go down, most other countries go down with us because we're the big dog wagging the tail. Okay, the tail doesn't wag the dog. We're the dog. So I think it's good. I think it's going to maybe be very supportive for the stock market in the coming year or two or more. Can't really tell that. And it really means that you should have some kind of global exposure in your portfolio. Really, that's what it means. And so I find this interesting because it's so unusual. It's not usual. Where all the major economies are going in the same direction. It's unusual. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's get back to our 24-hour intertime line. Same number as always, 888-992-4278.
Hi, Steve. I just started investing, pretty new to it, and I have a million questions, but I'll start with one. What are dividends? How do they pay them? What do they pay them on, and how do you get a check on that? I'm just super curious about that. Thank you.
Some companies pay dividends. Some companies don't. Most growth companies do not pay dividends. Big blue chip stocks usually pay dividends. So a dividend is nothing more than the company executives deciding to pay out some of the earnings that the companies have to the shareholders. Remember, as a shareholder, you own the company. The stock is ownership of that company. And they will announce a dividend. They'll say, okay, we are going to pay 30 cents per share dividend on what is called ex-dividend date. Ex-dividend date is the date that they're going to pay it. So they'll say, let's say they're going to pay 30 cents on October 15th, 30 cents per share. They announce the dividend, and that dividend, if you own the stock by October 15th, you get that dividend. Please don't think that you can, you know, the stock price goes down by the amount of the dividend. So you can't take advantage of it by thinking that you're buy the day before, sell it, and you got 15 cents, and the price of the stock didn't move. No, that didn't work. How they pay it is they pay it in cash and it's put into your brokerage account on the ex-dividend date. It comes right into your account. They don't send you a check or anything like that. They put the money in your, you get it in your brokerage account, comes in cash usually. Now, you can ask for dividends to be reinvested in the same stock. Depends on how you set your original brokerage firm up. I don't do it that way. I always have them come to cash. I don't want them to buy more stocks with the dividend. I just want the cash. Okay, and it automatically goes to your brokerage account where the stock is held. Okay, that's how that works. Just keep asking questions. You'll learn it all. It just takes time. The best investing approach is one that combines disciplined fundamental analysis with a market perspective and an understanding of human psychology and, of course, the economy. It's in reading charts, remember, I've always told you, it's not a science, it's an art. Fundamentals is different. You always look at the fundamentals of the company first. That's the primary concern as an investor. What are the fundamentals? Not the technicals, not the chart movement. So how about sharing your investing experience? Have you been doing well, bad, not, you know, what's going on with your philosophy? Is it working? I would love to hear from you. 888-99-CHART.
Every investment must be assessed from the point of view of liquidity. Can I get my money out? Potential for success, expected results, and potential for failure. How much can I lose? And how it fits with other investments in your portfolio. So what's the best way to gauge whether your portfolio measures up? Talk to Steve. Call him now at 888-99-CHART or send him a note. Contact Steve on investtalk.com.
Hi, guys. Matthew here from New Jersey. Everybody says that the market is overvalued and it's tough to find value, but I think Hanes Brands, HBI, is of good value right now. It came off of a pretty steep decline about 2 years ago and has just started moving sideways and slightly upwards. What do you guys think about it? It's at a great PE. So let me know your thoughts and I look forward to hearing your answer. Thank you.
Well, you're going to find value in the retail stocks because the competition from Amazon, which has been attacking all the retail major brands, has caused investors to dump those stocks because of Amazon's competition. And Hanes brand is no different. Manufactures t-shirts, bras, panties, men's underwear, kids' underwear, socks, hosiery, casual wear, active wear. It's a $9 billion company, and the PE, current PE is 13. It's going to make $2.15 next year. It's a $25 stock. So that PE is going to be, what, 11, 12? And the low range is 10 to 24. But there's a reason why it's low, because of, as I said, competition from Amazon. I happen to think the sales growth is still 12%. I happen to think a lot of the stocks were beaten up unfairly in the retail sector. Because Hanes is probably not going to go out of business. They're probably going to do just as well going forward. And we actually own Hanes in one of our managed accounts. So we do like this one. I think the value is very good. It pays a 2.4% dividend. Management owns 1%. Mutual funds hold 50% of the stock. And I like the sales growth. It's been consistent here for four quarters in a row, 11 to 13% sales growth, despite the worry about Amazon. So I kind of like it. It has moved up from $20.50 to $25, fell back down to $24.25. Now it's close back up to $25 again. So, and this has been since, what, June? April? May? No, June. Somewhere in that range. Okay, kind of like it. HBI is a symbol. HBI. Okay, 888-99-CHART. So how does the tech sector look right now? The tech sector for the first 6 months of the year, actually almost the first 9 months of the year, really, has led the market. It's up 22% year-to-date. Okay? And, of course, that is the best in 2017. And one of the reasons is it's a very robust demand for semiconductors, both in automobiles, industrials, and now the new iPhone. Semiconductors are, you know, sales have been growing very, very fast. And that, of course, helps earnings and therefore helps stock prices go higher. So now that it's led the market up 22% year to date, is it going to continue to do that toward the end of the year? It's in the upward trend. I would be cautious. If something leads the market for long periods of time, well, usually something else steps up and takes its place. But at the same time, the economies are growing around the world, as I told you. You just gotta worry about valuations. That's the big issue. Valuations of the tech stocks. Are they good, bad? Are they overvalued, undervalued? And you're going to have to look at the individual tech stocks. I would say the whole sector is kind of overvalued compared to its historical norms, which is a worry. It's a worry. You have to, as an investor, understand that that's what's going on. We're here for you, beginner experienced investor. Doesn't matter to me. I'd love to talk to anybody. 888-99-CHART. If you're a podcast listener and you can't reach us during our live program time, 4 to 5 Pacific time, you can record your question on our anytime line number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I have a question on real estate and insurance. So I was wondering if you could help me with that. I have a property and was thinking of hiring a property manager, but they require to be listed as additional insured. Can you explain what that means? Just wondering if a claim is ever filed, can that property manager just go ahead and file a claim? Hopefully they run it by the owner prior to doing so. Or what is that? Is that possible? Or do I have to go ahead and approve it before any claim gets filed? I appreciate the time and will be listening for your answer. Thank you.
It has nothing to do with them filing a claim against your policy. That's not, you're misunderstanding what's going on here. What they're asking to be is an additional named insured on your policy, your liability coverage, and your fire coverage on the rental property. So you have a rental property. You insure that rental property against someone suing you if they fall on the property or something. The management companies saying, hey, we want to be named as an additional insured, because what happens is these people fall on the property and we're the manager of the property, they're going to sue us. Okay? And you, the owner and the management company. And the property company is saying, well, you know, we'll manage the property, but we need the protection of insurance against the tenants also if they decide to sue. And that's their primary concern. 99% of it is all about protecting themselves against a lawsuit, because they are managing the property, and a person who fell on the property is going to say it wasn't managed properly. They're going to sue you and the manager. Maybe they trip on a root of a tree and they say, oh, that root shouldn't have been sticking up. The management company should have took care of that. So should the owner. So it is nothing wrong with them being named on your policy, and you probably should do it if you want a property manager. If I was a property management company, I'd require it. I wouldn't. Every property would have to be named me that I manage as an additional insured on their policy because of the liability. Get sued. We're here for you anytime. As I told you, I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call. 888-99-CHART is our number. Now, U.S. manufacturing, as reported today, hits the highest level since 2004, 13 years ago, before this recession. And I'm talking about the ISM number, Institute of Supply Management, came in at 60.8. Anything above 50 means that the economy is expanding. This came in at 60.8, and this is for September. And for August, it was 58.8. So it was pretty high in August, too. But the experts expected it to go down a little bit to 58.1. Instead, it went up. And what was really surprising is 17 of the 18 industries, there's only 18 industries, 17 of them reported growth in August. Reported growth. So that was pretty impressive, really. And the big improvement came in new orders. New orders. It seems like there's a lot of optimism out there. So that's good. That's good. Economy is growing. And you know, it certainly seems like the economy is picking up. Remember, our first quarter was pretty dismal. It was less than 2%. What, it came in at 1.7, 1.9, something like that. Second quarter was better. Third quarter is what we just finished. Now, second quarter was like 3. Okay? So now we're looking now, what's this quarter going to be? And the ISM is part of the compilation of the numbers. Institute of Supply Management. Those are what they are talking to are talking about big manufacturing and what if they're buying or selling items, what's going on in the manufacturing sector. And you also have ISM non-manufacturing sector. So this was manufacturing sector. And we're a non-manufacturing country. So that has always been higher. And we'll probably get those numbers out tomorrow, the next day. That will also be very interesting. Very interesting. So the economy, you know, is picking up. Our economy is picking up. And the stock market has probably already reflected that it has because it's been doing well. So now it's a question of how much is it going to pick up and how good is this? Remember, we've had a little bit disappointment on the housing sales, mostly because of lack of inventory. So that's not necessarily, that's going to be positive because, you know, they're going to build more inventory, just the way it is. You're listening to InvestTalk, everybody. Last week, we talked about the warning signs that you're speculating, not investing. Do you remember those? Do you need help in distinguishing the difference? I'm open to any money topic, research. Any research that you need, analyst you need, give me a call. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Matt in Washington. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I've got a question about the stock AbbVie. That's ABBV. I believe it's a pretty large pharmaceutical company.
Yes.
I bought the stock a couple weeks ago. I really liked the fundamentals. You know, it was a good buy, and I ended up selling it just a few days ago. I made around $15 a share, but now I'm kind of regretting selling it because I kind of gave away a 3.75 dividend yield, and I still see, I think it might grow a little bit more. But I guess my question is, with a stock like that, when do you decide if you're going to take profits versus letting it kind of run out long term?
Well, the best way to do it, Matt, is when you buy the stock, is write down the reasons that you bought it, and at what price would you sell it? And give the reason why you would sell it at that price. And when it reaches that price, before you go and sell it, see if all the reasons that you wrote down before still apply. And did it reach the reason to sell other than just price? And then, for instance, you're going to say, the stock is growing 15%. I like the fundamentals of the company. They're coming out with a new drug. And I would sell the stock at $90 a share. then it gets to $90 a share, and all those reasons still exist, and there's no other reason to sell it, then you hold on to it.
Okay.
But
awesome. So basically, just come into it with a plan.
Yes. Always have reasons for owning it. And also the reasons to sell it. What if it goes down when you bought it, Matt? Well, then something's wrong with your reasoning, and you have to also write down, I will also sell it if it goes down at this price, if it goes down more than I want to handle the pain. Okay?
Great.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
No problem. For instance, this company's growing its earnings 15, 18. This is ABBV. It's a $144 billion pharmaceutical company. And the earnings are going up 15% this year, 18% next year. Sales are growing between 8 and 10%. And my reason for selling it would be that when it gets to be overpriced at maybe a 20 PE, I would sell it. Why? Because its five-year range is 10 to 21. And right now it's at 17. And if earnings are still growing strong, it'll help. Even while the stock is moving up, it will hold down the PE. So I still hold on to it. So stuff like that. You just got to make rules, your own rules. You know, you just have to understand that they do make sense. You just can't make up any old rules, but rules that make sense for the stock you're buying. Write it down and then refer to it often. If you feel like you need to sell it or you're worried about selling it, go back to why you bought it and read it and see what you think. Okay? Now, few are ready for retirement, and it's kind of depressing. In 1993, they do a study every year. In 1993, 18% of workers felt very confident about being prepared for retirement. 18%, 1993. That's one in five. The rest felt confident or not confident or, you know, downright depressing. Anyways, today, it's still 18%. Now, after all these years with everybody telling all the baby boomers and every generation at that you need to save for retirement, you need to put money away from retirement, and hasn't done one iota of good so far. Not coming out in the statistics, not in this particular statistic anyways. So it's pretty kind of depressing. It really is. You know, you got to get ready for retirement. You got to save money. Spend less than you earn. It's not that hard. Don't go to Starbucks once or twice less a week. I don't know. Do something, but you have to save money. You have to save and invest for your retirement. Time's up for the hour, everybody. Each month, I schedule one-hour meetings with our listeners to answer important questions about their retirement portfolios. If you're near our California offices, I can meet with you. If you're not, we can do Skype or telephone. It's pretty easy. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then Portfolio Review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, thank you for being with us today. And join us again on Invest Talk tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.